Of the Pledge of Allegiance, Janice. is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. Any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Do we have any public comments out there today? Moving on to the approval of minutes for June 10th, 2020.
I motion that we accept the minutes from June 10th, 2020.
I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, the approval of the agenda for September 9th, 2020, and bold, combine, or delete any items. I'd like to motion that we move informational item 10 to number 1. Do I have a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And to approve the agenda, I'd like to make a motion to approve of the rest of the agenda.
I second motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So, receive a report from Diane Kendall regarding the Clark County Master Plan and Title 30 Development Code Rewrite Committee for discussion.
Good evening, everyone. I received an email today from Clark County just before I came up here. And on September 15th and the 16th, the preliminary plan framework is going in front of the county commissioners. And then on between September 21st and 28th, we are going to have some more meetings with the consultant. We haven't had any meetings since our first one. I'm trying to send everybody notices through the emails. If you are not on my email address, I would like for you to email me at diakendall@gmail.com so I can put you on the list and send you the updates as I get them. I have one other mention. Next Wednesday at 10 a.m., Lieutenant Jeffrey Hughes will be here for a meeting with our community, and we'd like everyone to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Received a report from Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns.
Hello, everyone. My name is Officer Jeter. I've been in the department for 20 years now, as of July. And I am a resident of Searchlight, so your concerns are my concerns, trust me. When I say that, I live it up here, it's great. This is my 20 years. I did 4 years of patrol, 15 years on a motorcycle. Those 15 years, I did 2 years as a detective. This is my best assignment yet, I can tell you that. So calls for service for August of 2020, it's been 28 calls. Last year we had 22 calls at the same time. Our citation numbers for Searchlight is 76, DUIs 0, domestic violence arrests are 3, and total bookings for Searchlight is going to be 7. Do you have any questions for me or anything you'd like to ask me?
Any questions from the board? Any questions from the public?
Feel free.
I'm sorry, could you spell your last name for the record, please?
Last name was Jeter, J-E-T as in Tom, E-R.
Thank you so much, officer. Have a good night. Receive a report from Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns. I don't think we have anyone from the NHP. Receive a report from Assistant Chief Haydu and Searchlight Volunteer Fire Chief Rick Marshall regarding calls for service and other fire prevention issues.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Larry Hadu. I'm Assistant Fire Chief of Clark County Fire Department, and I have the pleasure of being the Chief of the Rural Division. The Rural Division covers about 7,000 square miles, runs all the way from Bunkerville down to Calamari. We have 10 fire stations, approximately 130 volunteers, and I supervise 10 fire chiefs, one of which being Rick Marshall, your fire chief here. Last meeting that I think you had was June. There were some topics brought up about staffing here in Searchlight, and I was asked by the chairman, Mr. Myers, to come down here and address those concerns. So here I am. I don't think I've ever been to the Searchlight Town Board. I've done a lot of Laughlin Town Boards. It's my first foray into Searchlight.
Oh, welcome.
Thanks. So one of the concerns was about staffing in Searchlight, and we didn't have adequate fire protection staffing in Searchlight. We don't. We're a volunteer fire department. One of our biggest challenges with volunteers is they have to have full-time jobs. So Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, your volunteers are probably not in town. And that's a challenge we have in all the rural communities. And we manage that challenge as best we can, and I'll elaborate on that in a second here. There was another comment made about paramedics in Searchlight. And we don't have paramedics in Searchlight. We have advanced EMTs in Searchlight, right? So it's intermediate life support. And there was a comment made about the ambulance not being able to respond because there's only one paramedic. So just to give you a little bit of background on that, we can't respond to our ambulance unless there's two people assigned to it. That's a Southern Nevada Health District rule. What we can respond, and what we do respond, is our squad, which is also medically equipped and can respond with one person. And typically, that one person will respond to stabilize a patient, make contact with incoming resources, order helicopters as necessary, and stabilize a patient the best they can until the cavalry arrives, per se. I did a little background on Searchlight's history, and I know that in 2010, you had 536 residents, according to the census. And currently, the population is shown at 359. So there isn't a lot of people in this town to draw from for the volunteer fire department. And quite frankly, you know, as people moved out of the rural areas when the economy got bad, a lot of those people never came back. And so it's a challenge for us to keep staffing. There's 315 households. The median age in town is 55 years old. That is better than the median age of my rurals countywide. My median age is about 60 countywide. So you have about 241 homes in town that theoretically could have volunteers on the fire department. But in reality, you only have 2% of those that actually volunteer for your fire department. So I hope you get to understand the gravity of our situation here. About your fire department. Your Searchlight Fire Department is the busiest volunteer fire department in the Clark County system. They ran 272 calls last year. We break those down into different levels of medical calls. The rescue here ran 229 calls, and that is the highest of any of my division. So hats off to these guys. They also ran 25 fires, 18 miscellaneous other events. Now, your fire department in town is made up of 27 volunteers. Well, only 7 of those actually live in town. The other 20 are what we call non-resident volunteers. And it's a program I started about 6 years ago when I became the chief. When we identified the need to get people into these rural communities because we simply didn't have enough people. So it used to be that in order to volunteer in Searchlight, you had to live within the Searchlight town limits. Well, that didn't make sense to me. So what we did is we opened it up to all the young kids that are in Las Vegas that want to be on a fire department. This is their career goal. And we thought we could give them a little bit of help getting to that career. So we started a non-resident program. Right now, we have about 60 members of our department out of 130 that are non-resident volunteers. You have 20 of them. Some of them have put in 80 hours a month down here. They're only required to do 24, but some of them put in 80 hours. And that's because they love coming down here. They love your fire chief. They love the people they work with here. And that program still, you know, it helps, but it still has the problems that the resident program has. They have to work. And so I'm limited as to how much I get them down here. One of your patriarchs of your fire department, Sue Landis, I'm sure you all know Sue. She retired after 18 years of service. There's nobody stepping in to fill her spot. Sue was retired, and the one person who most of you saw on a daily basis if you needed help. So when she left, that left a big void for us, and there's nobody to fill that position. So that adds to our challenges. When we look at, you know, the families in town, the Marshall family, 3 out of 4 of them volunteer for your fire department. The Bowie family, we have 2 of the brothers that volunteer, and 1 of the wives that volunteer for the fire department. So it's a few families that are really carrying the burden of trying to provide your services down here. Medical responses. When nobody is available from Station 75 to respond, a call automatically goes to Station 84 in Calipari. Calipari has 1 person on that department, 1. And 1 part-time person that comes from California. So the odds that they're going to respond and back us up are pretty slim. So what we do is we will dispatch Engine 76, even Engine 85 from Laughlin, which are paid units, which are under contract to the city of Laughlin. But I will pull those units as needed to come down here and help out. They almost automatically come on every fire. We'll get those, plus in-town units. So we bring a lot of resources to town when we need to, when we have a large event. We also bring in Laughlin, or AMR from Laughlin. That's about 30 to 38 miles away. That's, again, that's a paid service that Laughlin pays for, 2 ambulances in their town. But they're willing to let us snag them on occasion to come down here. They've never said no. They've never had a problem with the in-town units coming or AMR coming down here to help out. We also have a community ambulance, which moved to Henderson, which cut our response time down quite a bit. It's 42 minutes from Henderson. Now, that's still a long time, right? But there's not a lot we can do about their response times. In addition, when needed, we will put an air ambulance on standby, or we'll launch an air ambulance. And the rural division that I manage launches that air ambulance more in 1 year than most of the rest of the departments in the valley, in the Las Vegas Valley, run in 5 years with that helicopter. We keep that thing afloat because we literally have to have it an hour out of town. So that's usually going to the airport here, and we transfer the patient to that helicopter. Let's see, full-time coverage. Somebody asked, you know, why we can't have a full-time fire station down here. And it's really simple. It's economics. It costs the Clark County Fire Department $1.5 million a year to staff a paramedic level ambulance. It costs County Fire $3 million to staff a paid engine. Now, those figures don't include the cost of the apparatus or the station and the housing, which we have neither down here. So $4.5 million to have a fire engine and a rescue down here. Your budget, your revenue for your town is about $436,000 a year. That budget wouldn't even pay to bring a contract ambulance down here. So, you know, those are the harsh realities. We do everything we possibly can to make sure everybody gets attention, but there are going to be cases where we are going to be delayed. And I wish I could... Which could tell you something better, but that's, again, the harsh realities. Now, we do the best we can. Because of the call volume that your station has, it has some of the best equipment in the rural division right here in Searchlight. They are getting a new squad next Friday that Chief Marshall is going to go down and pick up. That's a 2017 that's at the station. It's very slow. And being you're the busiest fire station, we're going to swap those trucks out so that you have almost a brand new truck, so that we have no reliability issues with that squad. We're also putting a new ambulance. It's a 2008 Freightliner, which is a large, medium ambulance down in Calipari to replace the 1999 unit that's down there. So we keep rotating equipment. We keep doing our best to make sure you have equipment that's reliable because of the distance you are away. And we do our best to make sure that you have staffing as much of the time as we can. As with the other nine rural communities, your medical care relies solely on volunteers. Solely on volunteers. We talked about there's not enough tax base to support paid services down here. Our motto in the rural division, neighbors helping neighbors, because that's what we are. The person that comes to your aid when you need it most is going to be somebody who probably lives very close to you. And they do it for free. They do it for a love of the community. You will not find a more dedicated group than the volunteer firefighters. They risk their lives every day. They give up family dinners. They give up holidays to respond to the calls when you need them. But unfortunately, they have to work those full-time jobs. They have to support their families. And that leaves us with that gap during the day. One of the sad realities is if you have a serious medical condition that requires you to have an ambulance at your doorstep in 3 minutes, you live in a round place. The only way we can guarantee a 3-minute response 90% of the time is if you live in the greater Las Vegas area. That's our national standard in that urban area. You know, the bottom line is your fire department, they do the best they can. They've made the commitment to be there when you need them. Several of them are here tonight. I don't know why, because I guess they know it's coming. But again, I can't say enough about the volunteers. I've been in the fire service for 40 years. Got your beat. But I've never, in all the jobs I've had in the fire service, being the chief of the volunteers has been the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my career. Because I work with people who just do it because they want to make a difference. They're not doing it for money. They're not doing it for glory, because God knows nobody, you know, rarely says thank you to the fire departments. They're here just to help out their community, and I can't think of a more outstanding endeavor in their lives. So I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. That's basically the response that you had asked for.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. But before we get to questions, I'd just like to be the first one to thank all the volunteers out there in Searchlight and the rest of the rural division and the out-of-towners that do come in to help us. And I'd just like to give you guys a big round of applause. Thank you so much.
Okay, Chief Mark, a lot of the tech, I'm not supposed to have any favorites, right? But Searchlight's one of my favorites. You didn't hear that. And don't write that down. But Chief Marshall, out of my 10 fire chiefs, is one of the most outstanding chiefs that I have. He is a guy that just bends over backwards to make sure everything's done correctly, puts in a ton of hours, and just does it as well as anybody.
We'll go ahead and open up questions to the public. Any concerns or anything you'd like to ask?
Okay, I guess I talked long enough.
I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it possible for the fire department to put on a class that would be for like CPR class? You refer to neighbors helping neighbors. So it would be a first aid class. Is it possible to arrange and open that up to the community? So
sure.
That we could have people come in at least then. I mean, where I'm at, I get calls for people that have incidents, and I go down, I manage Cree's Mobile Home Park. So I'm typically the first person they call when they have a problem. And I was EMT certified in California, but not here. But it would be nice to have something here to where we could do training for everybody. So if they do have an issue, at least you know what to look for. Do some type of assistance before we could get somebody here. At least we got something. They're just not laying there doing nothing. They're waiting and getting upset.
Okay, and I will certainly look into that. I don't know why we couldn't. I'm sure that we can get CPR classes down here. We also have a CERT volunteer program in Laughlin, and I don't know if does that extend over to here at all? Not yet. All right, so we have CERT, which is basically community responders, that could be put together in town that would be simple to train in not only CPR, but in basic incident command. So they understand how things are going to go once we all get here and how that flow should go. So I will certainly look into that and see if I can come up with some CPR classes.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
AEDs, right? I'm sure the bigger places like Turbos have an AED in there. That's a great life-saving device, and that can make a big difference if it's applied immediately to a cardiac arrest. Might buy you some minutes. Anything else?
Dennis, did you have anything you wanted to? One more time for the public. Anybody wanted to make a comment or question? Okay. Mr. Marshall, would you come up to the podium, please? Yes, sir.
Rick Marshall, 149 Encinitas Street. Through the fire department, we have, I think it was last year, we tried to do a CPR training class. We did the flyers, and only two or three or four people showed up. So, we can do it again.
I've never seen the flyers.
Before we jump into all over the room, maybe we can do it to keep people up to date, you know, maybe periodically every, you know, couple quarters of the year, maybe we get once or two a year.
Yeah.
Maybe keep it up to date, maybe people didn't know or weren't able to attend the first one or whatnot.
No problem. Yeah, we have one person on our department here in Searchlight that is a CPR trainer that can do it and get you the card saying that you're trained.
I think that would be great, and maybe it would solve some of the issues. Some people didn't see it.
The only thing is you don't, the trainer don't get the cards for free. The trainer has to pay for the card. So, I don't know what the cost of it will be. Maybe I can talk with Chief Adu about it. We have done it once, and there are some people in town that have already took it and are trained.
I think part of the problem with flyers is the flyers are only posted in certain locations. A lot of people don't go to those locations and look on their bulletin boards on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. I can pretty much assure you that a lot of the people in Crees don't do that. So they depend upon their neighbors and the just communication within your own block or your own little community to be able to go know what's going on.
Okay. I'll talk to her with our EMT and see what she can do.
And what's our best way to get the word out? If the flyers don't work, how can we solve the issue?
The flyers are okay. It's just where they're located. You know, because I personally don't go into the bars, and so I don't see them at Terrible's or at the Roadhouse. The post office is okay, but they have so much posted up there that gets lost. But the Crease is a good place to post. Our senior center is a good place. Of course, we're not open right now, but that's a good place to post. Here at the community center is a good place to post. The laundromat, a lot of people go to the laundromat.
Flyers could also be sent to my email. I run a Facebook page called Searchlight News.
Yes.
So that could probably get the word out a little farther
and
as well.
And we have the senior citizen Facebook page also.
Perfect. See, those are great ways to get the word out.
Also, I run the library, and if you notify me, then I can mention it to people and put them on my door. And we did, the library district 2 years ago sponsored Stop the Bleed. We also worked directly with Christy at...
Kelly, could you step up to the speaker, please?
Get out of my way. Kelly Carlson, Searchlight Library, 200 Michael Lindaway. So to recap, I would be happy to talk it up with my patrons and post a flyer on my door. 2 years ago when we did Stop the Bleed, we also worked directly with Christy at the senior apartments, the low-income senior apartments, and that helped, and as Janice said there. So if we get the information too, I interact a lot with my patrons, and I'd be happy to talk it up.
Thank you, Kelly. Did you have anything else to add, guys?
No
questions for the fire department? Okay. I'd like to thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks
guys. Okay. Receive a report from Gabby Villa for a day with Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system.
The usage was 7.51 million gallons, And in August of 2019, usage was 7.19 million gallons. So Searchlight used 320,000 gallons more this August than they did the August of last year. Other than that, all systems are running well and operational. Any questions?
Any questions out there? Any questions from the board? Thank you so much, Abby.
Thank you.
Received a report from Greg Turner with Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the wastewater system and water usage. Mr. Turner is not here tonight, so Donna Moore is going to go ahead and read his report.
Searchlight Town Advisory Board meeting for September 9th, Clark County Water Reclamation District. The statistics for August of 2020, we treated an average of 34,000 gallons per day compared to August of 2019, which had an average of 38,000 gallons per day. The difference between the two is not up here, so 4,000 gallons per day. Flow decreased by 4,000 gallons per day from last year at this time. Sewer service complaints, none were reported for August of 2020. Call report you did, none were reported for August 2020. And there's a flow chart attached at the back of you if you want to pick it up.
Thank you, Donna. Receive a report from Parks and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
Michelle Brown, BROWN, Clark County Parks and Rec. There are no upcoming events. This building is still not open to the public except for special purposes like tonight and for the food bank. Starting the week of September 14th, there's going to be kids and teen programming starting here. The Searchlight Kiddos Club, will be ages 5 to 11, will be our elementary school kids on Mondays here at the community center from 3:30 to 5:30. They've been informed that if a parent wants to bring their child and wants them to stay here without going out and about or leaving the premises, that can be arranged, but they have to talk to the people that are running that particular program. If not, they're not police, they can't keep their children here. So if you know anybody that has kids coming out here, let them know to make sure to talk to the guys when they drop their kids off. The teen club will be ages 12 to 17, and they'll meet every other Friday at the youth center. And they have a really, really great program that they're going to start with that. It's a buy-in. And these kids are going to have to earn their place. They're going to have a president, a vice president, secretary, and they will be running all of their own activities. So our new supervisor, Michelle, has Mount Charleston also. So mountain bikes can be used here. They'll just transport them down if we want to do a mountain bike run, or canoes, the same thing. She'll bring canoes down. So it's going to be a really good program for the teenagers. And they'll need to have waivers signed by parents for both of the activities. There's going to be rules and regulations put into place this time, and if they don't follow the rules and regulations, then they won't be able to come back to the facility for any kind of stuff. So that's it. Any questions?
Any questions out there for Michelle? From the board? Thank you. Received a report from Kelly Carlson of Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming programs.
All right, Kelly Carlson, Searchlight Library, 200 Michael Wendell Way. The branch status, we are currently open for all library services. We continue to have curbside services for patrons who request it. I think we're down to like two people that are preferring that, and everybody else is happy to come back to the branch for browsing. Masks or other appropriate face coverings are required for entry in the library, and social distancing is practiced. Additionally, as always, our Wi-Fi is available 24 hours a day in the parking lot. A caveat to that, obviously, if our power's out or general, and it's always there. We just today have begun having in-person programs again in Searchlight, and they are also having socially distanced in-person programs at the other branches in town, other outlines as well. In-person programs, again, are socially distanced and masks are required. Our sensor bookshelves, for those of you that aren't familiar with that, are on wheels, and that allows us to reconfigure our space to distance tables in the main branch, and we're utilizing this feature to allow for appropriate distancing. And one change to our district operating procedures, all items that are returned are quarantined for a minimum of 4 days. In our case, because of the 4 days that we're open, if you return something on Wednesday, it's not going to be checked in until the following Tuesday. However, we are backdating everything, and we are not charging fines as a district until probably the end of the year to take into account the fact that we're not checking your stuff in. That's been upsetting to some people that have to follow their accounts closely online, but there are no charges. So. And at the end of the year, we're going to take a look at that again, and I've already kind of figured out some ways that we can make sure that our people don't get charged fines if need be. On the children's activity side, since the start of school, we are again distributing our three-square snacks after school. Currently, we're distributing them right after school at the gate and not in the branch. We're not allowed to use any of what we call touch toys for obvious reasons right now, so pretty much 100% of my programs were based on touch toys for the kids, and we're kind of looking for some stuff that we can do to fill in for that. In the next few weeks, we're also going to be giving out what we call take and make crafts with the snacks for additional at-home enrichment, and we may transition at a certain point to doing those take and make crafts in the branch because each person gets their own. We're finalizing licensing and logistics, and we hope to have an after-school movie event in the branch at least once a month, and we'll probably get that first one together in about 2 to 3 weeks. We'll be handing out flyers and contacting my new Facebook page with that information once we pull that together. And we're also hoping to do a painting craft for the children with Allie in October and December with holiday-themed pictures. On the adult activity side, we have our first book club meeting this morning. We had two members that preferred to call in and do the speakerphone thing with us. I currently only have the capacity for two called-in attendees, so we're hoping that we can keep that working. Book club is now going to be once a month, not bi-weekly. It's on the second Wednesday of the month. And all in-branch adult programs are now going to be Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. due to scheduling limitations that have been imposed by the revised district budget. Our next book club is on Wednesday, October 14th from 11:30 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. And the book is called The Only Woman in the Room. And it's a historical, fictionalized account of Hedy Lamarr, who was an impressive scientist in Germany before she became a Hollywood star. Sip and Paint is no longer called Sip and Paint because due to new district regulations, we're not allowed to hand out food or beverages. But it's now Painting with Allie. And the Painting with Allie is going to be in the branch on the fourth Wednesday of the month. This month, that will be Wednesday, September 23rd. Sorry about that. At 11:30, as before, we provide all supplies, and attendance is limited to 12 people, and reservations are required because that's how many people we can fit in the branch, and so keep everybody 6 feet apart. Call us or visit us to make a reservation. As I mentioned last time, the district has made a decision system-wide to incorporate all the branch pages under one district umbrella. We're no longer able to post our branch-specific activities. We have been allowed to work with local Facebook pages, and I'm working with the Searchlight News page for our relevant information. My flyers are posted there. I also post them at the post office and on our door if you happen to come on Mondays or Wednesdays to the food bank. And please also feel free to call us anytime that we're open, and I'll be happy to fill you in on what we have going on. Questions?
Any questions for Ms. Kelly out there? From the board? Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Receive a report from Janice Kostucki with Searchlight Senior Center regarding current and upcoming activities.
Janice Kostucki,
Searchlight Senior Center. We're not open right now also due to the county restrictions. On Wednesdays, though, we do have a food bank going on, three squares from 9 to noon. We do deliveries, and we also, you can come in and pick up your food right there at the Senior Center. Masks are mandatory. That's all that's going on, since that's all we're allowed to go on. Again, let me reiterate that the Museum Guild has canceled everything for this year, and hopefully we'll be up and running again next year. Thank you.
Any questions out there for Dennis? Thank you, Janice. Receive a report from me, Kyle Myers, regarding current road conditions and public works concerns. I have one update on the Cottonwood Trail project. Not exactly the news that you'd like to hear, but...
I turned it down.
Oh, okay. The Cottonwood Cove Road project. Public Works staff previously started design on this project with a trail on only one side of the roadway. However, in response to a request from the town of Searchlight, the project scope was modified to include a trail on both sides of the road. The designer of this project was assigned to another project that is nearing the start of construction, and once plans for landscaping are prepared for that project, we will begin working again on the Cottonwood Cove project. It's hoped that preliminary plans for the Cottonwood Cove Road would be ready before the end of the year. And that's all I have for my report this month. I'll take any questions if there is any out there.
From the board?
Okay, thank you very much. Announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events.
Good evening, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mark Robledo. It's not the first time I've been here, but it's the first time as the liaison. With the retirement of Brian Paulson, I have been designated as the county liaison for both here in Searchlight Ed and Laughlin. So I actually answer to the real boss over here, so any questions have to be posed to her. Because she's actually teaching me the ropes about everything. But I've already worked with Kyle a little bit, trying to get some things done. So I just wanted to introduce myself first. I do have one announcement for everybody. Coming up on Saturday, September 26th, both Commissioner Naft and Congresswoman Susie Lee will be here in town that morning at 8:30. They're going to be outside here at the community center. They're going to be saying a few words about the new parking lot and everything that went on there with the redesign of the parking lot, because they're going to be heading down to Laughlin afterwards, and they'll take some questions after they do their speech, very few, because they're going to be on a tight schedule. So I just wanted to let everybody know that that's going to be coming up here. So, anybody have any questions?
Any questions out there for Mark? From the board? Okay. Thank you, Mark. Anybody else have any announcements or meetings, events? Well, I got a couple of things here. We have two vacancies on the town board, as you know. We have some applications on the back table there if you are interested or if you know someone who might be interested. And we also have some flyers back there regarding the poll workers. We need a, I'm not exactly sure on the number of people that they still need for Searchlight, but they do still need some folks to work the early voting and the general election. So all the information's on the flyer back there on the back table. And then that's all I got there. So thank you. And received a report from the Searchlight Betterment Organization regarding current projects and updates.
Michelle Brown, SBO Treasurer, 245 East Gavilan Street, Searchlight. The SBO, along with everybody else, has pretty much had its hands tied for the past 3 months due to the pandemic. But we're trying to get back on track now that some of things have opened up. We applied for a grant through AARP to complete phase two and phase three of the Rex Bell Trail out there, and we included a dog park in it, but unfortunately we weren't chosen for that grant. But we're continuing to look for other grants that we can apply to make that come to completion out there somehow. The Flag Box project, the one up on the Gavilan Hill, is still ongoing. We did purchase a new flag, and it, instead of having the American flag flying up there, we ordered a Nevada flag to fly over the box, and this decision was made due to the large American flag flying over terrible Herbs right next door, and we felt that Nevada should be represented in our town also. The SBO and the VFW went together and purchased American flags to line US 95 light poles for our patriotic holidays. They were received and flown for the 4th of July, and hopefully everybody had a chance to see them. It's really kind of cool when you stand at one end of the 95 and look up, and every light pole has a flag flying on it. So we purchased a plaque honoring Willie Martello, who was a casino owner here way back when, and through the Museum Guild, and it will be placed in what I call the memory walk out front here in the mining park. In the future, we plan on adding more plaques to honor past historical residents of Searchlight. The Searchlight Beautification Project is back on track. The proposed locations will be marked with stakes starting September 7th and be completed by September 21st. Property owners are asked to verify the locations and let us know if it needs to be changed. Then, after September 21st, on the 24th, the Call Before You Dig dudes will be out, and they're going to mark everything to make sure that there's no utility lines where we want to plant Joshua trees. Then that will happen through the 24th and 28th. Joshua tree removal from the Castle Mountain Mine will begin on October 5th and be completed by October 9th. And replanting the Joshua trees in their new Searchlight homes will be done on October 12th through 16th. So it'll look pretty cool going down 95 and Main Street after that. Thank you to Aaron Hall with Equinox Gold for working with the SBO to upgrade the appearance of our town. The SBO submitted a letter to Denny's in support of the Denny's grocery menu. If this is approved, there will be fresh food available for residents and tourists alike to purchase at reasonable prices through online drive-up or walk-in options. Anyone interested in showing their support are encouraged to submit a letter. The letter can be handed to Abraham, Denny's manager, directly or mailed to the SBO at sbo89046@yahoo.com, and we'll make sure that it gets to Denny's. Right now, as that stands, everybody underneath the franchise owner wants this to go on. It's just convincing the owner that we actually need it. Excuse me. Our annual membership drive started August 25th. And will continue till September 25th. All letters have been sent out to previous members as a reminder. And anyone interested in joining, please contact me at 702-912-6275 or any other one of our board members. Dues are $15 per person or $25 per couple. Right now, open meetings are not being conducted due to the closure of the Senior Center per Clark County restrictions. As soon as the restrictions are lifted, we encourage residents to attend our meetings with constructive ideas on how we can better utilize and upgrade our town or just stay informed with what we're trying to do. We'll be conducting a toy drive this year. I know most of you don't come to Clark County's holiday festival that we have up here for the kids, but last year, sadly, there weren't enough gifts to go around for all of the kids, so it was done on a drawing basis with tickets. So we had from 0 to 18-year-olds up here. Now, some of the 18-year-olds got gifts, and some of the little kids who really were expecting gifts didn't get any. So that really was bad. So this year, the SBO, along with Clark County Parks and Rec, are going to do a combined effort. Parks and Rec is going to, they're going to host the Parade of Lights. We're still going to have that. But instead, if this building isn't open, we'll end the parade at the park and the SBO will take over, and we'll have a Santa there, and we hope to have gifts for every kid in Searchlight. But the only way we can do it is if everybody pitches in and helps. And we're asking everyone for one gift, under $10 or under, and it can be dropped off at the thrift store any day of the week. There'll be a bin up there, and it will have, say, SBO toy drive on it. And you can put an unwrapped gift there, and we'll make sure that it gets to Santa for giving out on whatever day will be designated as the day. So there will also be a drop-off box here at the community center, of course, and I'll be taking care of those. That's what I've got.
Any questions out there for Michelle? Anybody from the board? Thank you so much. Planning and zoning, we have none. General business, review fiscal year 2021 budget requests and take public input regarding suggestions for fiscal year 2022 budget requests for possible action. So what that is kind of how we did last fiscal year is we have a few things from our last list that obviously didn't get paid for. So those are the remaining things on our budget request list. So what this item is here for this meeting is to get suggestions and input from the community on maybe things they would like to see on the list for the capital budget request. And we in our October meeting we'll be finalizing the importance of each one in order from the most important to the least important. By all means, if anybody out there would have any input or comments, suggestions, ideas they'd like to add to the budget request list.
Anybody? What's the list?
Well, the only things that, because as you know, the parking lot was done earlier this year. So what we have on the list at this point is to finish the Rex Bell Jr. Trail Park. Community Center new sound system, which I think we need that. A new splash pad at the park, a new dog park at the trail park, and to repave the gap area of Cottonwood Cove whenever the other two ends of it actually get done. So, and that's all we really have. It's the rest of our list from the previous budget requests. Anybody from the board have anything to add on that, or any input, suggestions?
Can we put on there a request for paramedics?
I mean, if that's what you want
to
do.
To pay somebody to be here?
This is more for
improvements.
For capital improvements. Any capital improvements you'd like to add on there, feel free to do so.
Anything else? We're
going to
go with this next month, right?
We'll finalize it next month. This is for discussion and input from the community, and I guess we don't have any. All right. I guess we will move on to that next month. Comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board. Board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Any comments by the general public? Judy?
Judy Bundorf, Grant Bowes Road, Bundorf, B-U-N-D-O-R-F. Update you on Friends of Walking Box Ranch. Like every other organization, we're kind of on hold, but we have monthly Zoom meetings. And here's a list of items from Jim Stanger, who's acting chair of our organization. Anyway, it says, Walking Box Ranch will not be opening up to the public on a regular basis this year. The tasks necessary to do this were put in the slow lane with the stay-at-home Talking Box Ranch is working with BLM on scheduling and delivering tours of the house and property again on a less frequent basis. Watch the website or Facebook for more information. Friends of Walking Box Ranch will be organizing a volunteer orientation in October as the temperatures cool down. There will be outdoor and indoor volunteer opportunities from landscaping and moving equipment outside to cleaning and putting together educational materials inside. And anyway, we're having a Zoom meeting next Monday, and maybe I'll have more information at the time of the October meeting. For those who were around last year when the burglary ring was operating, I think I told you last meeting that the leader of the troops is out on bail. He's supposed to go to jury trial in January. One of his helpers had a hearing a few weeks ago, and he's on probation. And this helper named Devin Upham was the son of Mr. Whipple's girlfriend. So it's a little family operation. And that's about it. I thought I might have someone to introduce tonight. We have the Reed property over there is in escrow. And there's a gentleman originally from North Dakota who is a motivational speaker who's going to be living there with his young adult daughter. And we hope to get that escrow closed in a week.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you, Judy. Has anybody else out there got any comments, concerns, anything? Moving on, and our next meeting date is October 14th, 2020, and I'd like to make a motion